Bridging the Cross-Cultural Gap, copyright 2009, University of Michigan. Unit 2, transcript of lecture excerpt for task 21, activity set 4, Benjamin Lee Whorf. In the academic world, most groundbreaking new ideas are presented and developed by well-educated professionals employed as full-time researchers and instructors at famous colleges and universities. Benjamin Lee Whorf was an exceptional case. Although his ideas on language, culture, and thought have impacted several different fields, he actually worked at an insurance company for 2 decades as a claims investigator. According to Penny Lee in The Whorf Theory Complex, published in 1996, linguistics was only a hobby for Whorf, not a full-time occupation. So what did this amateur linguist say that other people found to be so thought-provoking? Well, one of his most interesting ideas is that we know very little about how a person's language system affects his or her view of the world. In Whorf's classic 1956 text, Language, Thought, and Reality, he said that every person forms his or her ideas according to the particular language system that he or she knows. He said that what we notice in our environment, how we categorize things, and what we consider important or unimportant are all processes that are organized by the linguistic systems in our minds. For example, in his study of the Hopi language in the southwestern United States, this was reported in the 1956 book, Whorf learned that Hopi has only one word for each type of object that flies through the air. English, on the other hand, uses several different words for objects that fly, such as an airplane, or an aviator, or a dragonfly. In fact, even categories such as animate object, meaning an object that is alive, and inanimate object, an object that is not alive, are also categories that operate differently from one language system to another. Although many English speakers would consider a given rock or stone to be an inanimate object and would not try to interact with it in any way, many speakers of First Nations or American Indian languages would consider the very same stone to be alive. Another example from Whorf's seminal book involves empty cans of gasoline. Let's say someone lights a cigarette near these empty cans and they explode. Whorf said accidents like this happen because, for that person, the cans were seen as empty. That person looked at those cans, which were actually filled with dangerous gasoline vapors, and processed them through his or her language system as empty and harmless containers. As an expert member of the insurance industry, Whorf based this example on actual cases involving firsthand reports of fires and explosions by people who were eyewitnesses to those events. In his research, Whorf was influenced by Albert Einstein's theory of relativity from physics in the 1920s. And proposed his own principle of linguistic relativity. Whorf formed his ideas over a period of 20 years, beginning in the 1920s. Throughout his research, he was trying to address the connections between language, the human mind, and reality. Whorf is generally considered to have had an unusual place in academia because he was not a professor or teacher, and also because his ideas have been actively debated in a number of different fields, including anthropology, linguistics, philosophy, and psychology. If you want to know more about Whorf's influence in all of these fields, look at Lee's 1996 book. While the vast majority would agree that a particular culture can influence a particular language system, the exact extent that a given language system influences culture is still open to debate. We'll discuss Worf's ideas again tomorrow. In the meantime, I refer you to Etchard and Kemmer's 2004 book and Gumpers and Levinson's 1996 classic text if you'd like to get an overview of the many different types of studies conducted on linguistic relativity.